since we don't have a world currency, but we do have a world economy, we need to have currencies that can be used for international transactions of various kinds. And that's where internationalization comes in. Certain national currencies come to be used for international purposes. It's a result of a kind of competition among currencies, and the market decides which currencies will be used internationally. And there are three major considerations that the markets are looking for. One is relative stability of value, a well-managed currency. Secondly, a big network of transactions. So they're looking for the currency of a country that is large and has a large volume of international trade. And thirdly, they're looking for a currency with deep financial markets so that amounts of that currency can be held with a certain assurance about its longer-term stability.
Why has the U.S. dollar become so widely used over the years? And do you think that that's going to change perhaps in you know, seeing that the U.S. economy is playing a slightly less dominant role in the global economy?
Well, what makes the dollar so attractive, first and foremost, of course, was the fact that the U.S. economy was the dominant world economy after World War II. The U.S. GDP was roughly one-third of the world GDP at the end of World War II. U.S. manufacturing was half of the world's manufacturing capacity at that time. It naturally followed that the dollar would be attractive. The dollar continues to be attractive, even though the United States is now no longer the leading trading nation in the world. China has a larger volume of international trade than the United States does. And China's GDP is rapidly approaching that of the United States. But what makes the dollar most attractive is the U.S. financial market, and in particular the market for government bonds. There is no market in the world that provides the kind of depth, breadth, and resiliency that the U.S. government bond market does. The daily turnover is as much as $500 billion a day. Now, that means that the dollar offers liquidity advantages that no other currency can possibly offer.
Hmm. So what is the dominant international currency right now?
Well, I've written about what I like to call a currency pyramid. And at the very peak is the dollar. The dollar is the only currency in the world that performs all of the possible roles of an international currency and does so in every part of the world. It has universal scope. It has universal domain. There are two or three other currencies that are one tier down that perform some or all of these roles, but on a more regional basis. And potentially, the Chinese currency, the renminbi or yuan, which is still just a minnow, but its international use is growing quite rapidly.
And would you say that that reflects the global balance of power these days in the world?
Well, it clearly reflects the fact that China has achieved a degree of autonomy that's almost unprecedented. Remember that China has accumulated reserves. At its peak a year or so ago, it was over $4 trillion. That's $4,000 billion. That's a lot of money, even in this day and age. That's a lot of money. Their reserves are now down to about 3.4, but that's still a lot of money. And what that does is to give the Chinese a great deal of room for maneuvering in the world. And the Chinese have been using that to promote their currency as an alternative to the dollar.
Hmm. Do you think that there's a role to play for international institutions to sort of try and maintain a healthy balance of world currencies? Or do you think that the world would be a better place with one more dominant currency?
Well, there are many people who would like to see one currency for the world. But the question then is, who is going to control it? Who is going to govern and manage it? Because obviously, whoever controls the issue of an international currency, a world currency, has enormous power. And that's an extraordinarily difficult political issue. Just think of the European Union and the 19 countries that participate in the Eurozone. And think about the difficulties that they have experienced in trying to manage their joint money. Then multiply that by about 8 for all the membership of the International Monetary Fund. Can you imagine what political difficulties could be encountered in trying to manage a single world currency? The best we can hope for is that an international institution like the International Monetary Fund can help governments to manage their individual currencies and the relations between those currencies more efficiently and more smoothly. But of course, politically, it's very difficult for the IMF to enforce any control over sovereign governments. The best they can do is to act as an honest broker, as a mediator between governments.